start that. I didn't need correcting.
Shut up! Order!
Order! Let's start off as we need to go on.
We can see a better future.
So it's not a competition who can shout the loudest.
Hello, I'm Ishan, and you're listening to the Left Wingers podcast. We are an unashamedly left-wing political podcast made by activists for activists.
Welcome to another episode of Whinging Wednesday. Every Whinging Wednesday, we will be giving you our hot takes on the week's news stories, playing games and responding to what you, our listeners, have to say.
In today's episode, we're going to be discussing the rise of inflation and how it's measured. Now, of course, as we all know, as we've spoken on this show a lot of times, the cost of living has increased. And one of those pillars in the cost of living and its rise has been the rise of inflation, which we think now is about 5.5% at a 30-year high. So I think one of the ways that people don't, when we kind of talk about inflation and the cost of living, one thing people don't talk about is actually how it's measured. And of course, I'm sure lots of economists measure it in lots of different ways. And I'm not an economist, so we're not going to go into that. But I did read a very funny article that I shared with the Left Wingers team the other day, which essentially was, so the ONS takes 700 to 800 consumer goods per year, and they track the cost of inflation. So basically what their cost is and how it differs over a period of time. But there is huge debate and analysis about what those 700 consumer goods are and what they're not. For those who don't know, the ONS gives an annual update of 700 things, which they put into a kind of bundle, and they gauge what is popular and what isn't. And it is supposed to illustrate inflationary conditions. And then every year they add 19 and they take out 15. So one of the things I think is really interesting is it kind of almost shows what's in fashion and what's out of fashion. So just, I mean, you can go away and Google this yourselves, but what's in this year is antibacterial wipes. I guess we know why that is. Meat-free sausages. That makes sense, doesn't it, really? And sports bras, which I think is quite interesting. And what's out this year, so what they're not measuring, is men's suits, donuts, and coal. So I guess there's definitely something, some kind of environmental pledge or policy that I think has gone into the coal one. The donuts one I find interesting, but anyway. So what we've asked our presenters to do, including me, is to come up with 5 or 6 things that might be on the list or that we think should be on the list for how you measure inflation. So these are the things that maybe some of us buy or maybe we think other people buy, but we think would be a really good analysis of how inflation has gone up. I reckon a lot of us have got the same things though, which I think, so just to clarify, we all did this in our own time. So no one's heard each other's lists, but we've come up with like 4 or 5 things that we think you could measure the cost, like the rise of inflation on.
Well, something that I know a decent proportion of my income goes on, and it's quite niche, but it's not included on the list, even though other similar items to this are on the list. Turtle food. Like, obviously, that is very niche to me and my interests and Balti, my turtle's interests. But cat food, dog food, bird food is on the list. But there's no like exotic pet or reptile food on there, which I do think is quite interesting because it is quite expensive for what it is. And for some reason, I have no idea why, it seems to fluctuate in price quite a lot. And I'm assuming that's because of how it's imported. But yeah, that's something that I spotted and I was like, aha, there's something which I do spend a bit of money on that's not been included on the list.
Well, I feel like I have to jump in there because one of the things on my list was dog food.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah, think about it. Because if you have 60 million people, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I think 1 in 5 people own dogs now, or 1 in 6. Mm-hmm. But then I think 1 in 4 people own a pet of some sort. So it means 25% of the population is regularly buying some kind of food, which obviously, you know, animals need to survive. And that, I think, is quite costly. If you're looking at a budget, I think it's quite obvious when things go up and down. And yes, of course, as Brandon was saying, you can buy in bulk or you can order it online, I guess. Or I guess, you know, my parents adore my dog more than they adore their children.
You.
So he has, that's true. It's true, but I'm okay with it. Anyway.
Fair enough.
So he has like really nice food. And I guess if we got my dog like more basic food, we'd spend less money. But still, I think inflation is important, even though the food they get him is of the highest quality. Ashan, did you get pet food?
I did get that more people would be having pets. So I thought I went with sort of like nice. Pet related stuff after lockdown, especially a lot of people learning that looking after a dog is not the easiest and moving. And as you said before, no one really wants to let their dog down, if that makes sense. Whereas people scrimp on stuff for themselves, which is kind of sad in a way. But
that is true, isn't it?
But they'll never scrimp on a dog. Well, from experience anyway. Also, moving on, my thing was, I saw on that the PDF with all the, from the ONS, there was a lot about exercise classes and how they've gone up. But I feel like a lot of people, especially recently, are buying exercise machines and equipment. And I would love to see how that has gone up, especially since lockdown. Because I always see the Peloton ads and the Peloton horror stories and how people are buying gym equipment at the start of lockdown. But I feel like as everyone's becoming increasingly self-conscious and there's a BC pandemic, I suppose, they want to look in shape. And that's a good way of measuring inflation.
Yeah, that's quite interesting, actually, because at the start of the pandemic, companies like Peloton couldn't get out the equipment quick enough. To the point where there's recently been a scandal where basically they found out that these Peloton bikes, which weren't actually ready to be sent out, had got rusty in a warehouse. And instead of, you know, chucking them out as they're supposed to because of consumer standards and, you know, that's what you'd expect of a product which is so expensive, they just painted over it, essentially, obviously a bit more technical than paint, but like they essentially did that. And then people have been receiving these bikes and what have you, and they've been able to chip off the stuff which they've used to cover up the rust.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
Terrible. But that's a great idea, Sean. I think
I do know like I think there's a horror story about their CEO or their CFO where the guy was said in an interview like, I don't really understand how finance works. And then people thought that he was I have to go and find it. And people thought he was joking. And then like the yearly numbers, like the forecast came out and it was like, oh no, you don't understand. Like they were kind of like, God, isn't he just full of humor and he's so self-deprecating? And the guy was like, no idea. I'll have to go away and find that. So I didn't actually put down exercise bikes, but I did put down Fitbits.
Oh.
Which I think should be put in.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
Because I reckon Fitbit. Yeah, and also there's a new thing now with anyone who does like I reckon lots of people have signed up for life insurance or like health insurance, whatever. And you actually get money off and they send you a Fitbit and you use it and you report the statistics to the company. And that's one of the ways in which they take down your, so it's one of the ways in which they take down your kind of thing. But whether that's like you're using Strava, whether that's you've got a Fitbit, whether that's you're swimming and you want to, you know, calculate your meters. I reckon a lot of people have got personalized with their health in the past 2 or 3 years.
I find it kind of weird that people send off their health information to private companies. I don't know. That doesn't sit right with me. Like, if they're constantly tracking them. Maybe that's me being a conspiracy theorist.
No, I mean, I wouldn't do it either, but I know of a few people that do. And if they exercise, if they get their heart rate up a couple of times, then they get money off their insurance. But I also know those people who attach their Fitbits to their animals and then bring their dogs to the park and the dog gets a great run round.
Jeez.
Yeah, I've seen so many people talk. Like, there's at least 3 or 4 times in the park where I've seen a dog wearing a Fitbit.
No. That's terrible. Promise. Well, it's brilliant, but it's terrible.
I always think this is technology. Like, anytime there is a way to get around things, anytime there is a way to not do the thing that the company or the technology is specifically designed to do, people will find a way around it, which I thoroughly enjoy because there's somebody tracking all of that and they can just see like circles in parks and they just must be thinking God. That people are running around parks excitedly, which I just think is very funny.
Well, I was sat here thinking, why would you send off your medical data to a company? And then I realized I literally in the past 6 months have sent off one of those ancestry DNA kits and like I've just basically sold my DNA to a company, so I'm in no position to talk about, you know,
did anything good come
my
back?
Data I'm my DNA is entirely Northern European, as to be expected, to be honest, but I'm all into my ancestry and all that kind of stuff, so that's why I did it. It was worth the trade-off of my most private details to find out that I am in fact white.
That you are in fact white and from Yorkshire.
Yeah, no, crazy.
Ishan, have you ever done anything like that?
No, I actually really want to now, because I feel like my ancestry goes back up to my grandparents when they first came over, but then it just sort of, there's nothing really formal, so I want to know now. How much were they? Are they relatively...
At the time it was a deal, so it's about 30 quid, but it's normally a lot more expensive.
We should do inflation on DNA kits.
There we go.
30 quid's not bad, though.
A lot of people are doing DNA kits, so...
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people do them. Yeah, it's interesting anyway. Talking of health, this podcast is not for prudes, so I apologise if this puts you off. I noticed that on the list, there's condoms. Makes sense, because obviously it's quite an expensive item. But it's limited to that in terms of sexual health, which I think is quite interesting. And it doesn't include any other items apart from condoms on there, which I don't think is really reflective of how people are buying health products nowadays, I would say. So I think there's a lot more room for other items relating to sexual health on there, which probably, when you add them all up, do take up a significant part of people's incomes.
We're not looking at anyone, Matt Hancock.
Yeah, they're going to have to add some extra weighting to the index for him.
Our moms listen to this, Brandon. Our mothers are listening.
My mom's a very progressive lady. She won't
Good
mind.
For you. Okay, did anyone get any food? And if so, yes. What do they put down?
I'm going to say all the vegan food, because everywhere I go, all I see is vegan food. And I've tried to have a couple of days a week where I try and be vegan. But it turns out it's actually very expensive on those couple of days to be vegan. And I feel like that's probably got worse over the last couple of years.
I try and do meat-free Monday.
That's good. I mean,
that's my thing.
That is one of the things that puts me off being vegan, just the cost of it all. You know, to actually have really tasty food costs significantly more than to get, in my opinion, tasty food of other varieties. And I have noticed that the prices at the moment, because I occasionally grab stuff off of the vegan and vegetarian bit of the shop, just because why not? And I've noticed that the prices have got a lot more expensive. And to be honest, that is putting me off purchasing anything from that part of the shop, just because I can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, I've had this conversation with so many friends that are vegan. And my argument revolves around the minute scientists can grow something in a lab that tastes and costs the exact same as what we currently have, I will never, ever eat meat again. Like, I'm not emotionally attached to eating an animal. Like, it's of no consequence to me if the thing tastes the same. It's of no bother. And I have been to, in London, I think there's several places. I think it's called Honest Burger off the top of my head. Relatively cheap. And the food is almost, you can tell the difference, but you almost couldn't. And if it was... And if they just improved it a little bit, which I believe they will, I believe there's enough of a market now where it will happen, I would overnight become vegan. Although I would like to move on to another thing that I've written down, which is a super basic white girl thing that I've written here, but I feel like I had to say it. And it has to come with a preamble, which is the Left Wingers community know that every year for Lent, I give up something that is near and dear to my heart and causes me great emotional anxiety.
Oh my God.
I do it anyway. So last year I did chocolate, which is I was really impressed with, and then had some chocolate on Easter Sunday and I cried. It's a true story. But this year I've gone above and beyond and I've done bread.
Ooh.
Which is hard, which actually is a lot harder than I thought it would be, because the minute I get up in the morning, all I want is a cup of tea and toast, like toast and a banana, bagel and a banana, a sandwich for lunch, and then suddenly you're just eating bread all day. Anyway, so I've written down bread, despite the fact that I'm not eating it at the minute, but I definitely have noticed the cost of bread going up.
Well, here's something that I've written down. I've written down wraps, because it's not on the list. Awesome. And wraps, I eat wraps all the time, to be honest. It's a decent alternative to bread. And it is a bit strange how they have got items like rice and carbs that maybe might have not been on the list 20, 30 years ago. But wraps seems like a really obvious one to me that people eat a lot of, and it just doesn't feature on the list. So, yeah, that's one that I would add in.
I was going to say the reason that they probably haven't started growing meat in labs, they probably have. They just haven't released it because otherwise the vegans will have to admit that they prefer that over like jackfruit or something, and then it'll ruin their whole personality. That's my big theory.
And all of the vegans who listen to our podcast have now tuned out.
And we'd just like to apologise on behalf. We're big into free speech and freedom of thought, but we just want to apologise. And we love all of our followers, including the vegans and vegetarians. You are great people, and I don't have the discipline to be able to do what you do.
Something
that, I'd put in a disclaimer.
Something that vegans and vegetarians can eat, which I absolutely love, olives. I live strong for olives, and they're not included on the index. And you know, I eat at least 2 packs a week, I would say, of olives, which is terrible. Like, really bad for your health. Yeah.
Why are they bad for your health?
The thing is, the olives themselves are not bad, but it's whatever they're put in.
They're in.
Which is the issue.
Yeah.
And I do love my olives. Like, they, do you like them stuffed? They have changed my life. Yes, I do. I like garlic olives. So I smell lovely to be around. But also like sweet olives, you know, when they're like put in with orange or like lemon or whatever, you live for
it. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't know you could.
Yeah, no,
I know you put like the roasted tomatoes in the olive, and that's pretty delicious.
I'm so glad that Sharon's not here for that reason that I've mentioned olives, because she'd be squirming.
Yeah, I was about to say, doesn't she, just in case they don't know, go back to episode one where we introduce ourselves and tell each other some lies in order to figure out who's the best liar. Just spoiler, it's not me. Sean said that she despised olives.
She tells people that she's allergic to olives so that they definitely won't put anything olivey in her food, which is fair enough. But I'm possibly the complete opposite in that either. I love them.
Yeah, yeah, that was it. I remember. I remember that was so, and I've never ever met anyone like that. So
Hi,
God
Sean.
Bless you.
Hope you're well. Another item of food. I've got pomegranate. I don't know why.
You bougie boy.
I know, I've got a really bougie middle class. pomegranate, but I do love my pomegranate as well. So I thought that was a sad missing item from the list.
I actually didn't think about fruit, but I do try and eat a banana every day. So I guess actually as the prices of bananas did go up, I would feel.
I feel like
except
have,
in the summer.
Because we have a banana every day in our household. That's an actual thing that we do.
But they're so cheap though. You can buy like 7 for £1.50. It's just.
Yeah,
you know what has gone up actually? I'm addicted to kiwis, and they are ridiculously expensive now.
Kiwis are delicious.
And they've got a lot of vitamin C, which is good for you, more than oranges actually.
Nice.
I'm really upset about that. Enough of the kiwi propaganda.
Sorry, how do you eat a kiwi? I was thinking about that in the supermarket today, right?
I've got a good answer
that you mentioned this. And I just look at it and I'm like, how do I begin with you?
The
like,
skin on.
No, you don't.
Wait, say that again.
What?
I eat them with the skin on. So I chop the little stubby bits at the end off and then chop them up. And they're really good with the skin on.
Okay, so I don't do that. What I do instead, Brandon,
wait,
and you can do this
guys,
if you like.
Email us if you eat your kiwis with the skin on.
No, don't do that.
That means you're very cool.
No, it does not mean. No. No, no, it doesn't. Okay, so here's how I think you should eat a kiwi. And you just slice it down the middle, right? And then you get a little teaspoon and you spoon it out. And it's like a little yogurt pop, but in like a natural thing.
Okay. But you waste so much flesh. Because you can never get all the flesh out.
Do you know, I'm gonna leave this conversation on that because right. I want to
hear Ashar's justification for this. I'm really intrigued.
Well, first of all, the skin has a lot of like vitamins and nutrients in it. It's really good fiber, and then also you can actually weigh as well.
I wish that our listeners could see Kathleen's facial expressions because they're very interesting in response to Ashan. It's wow, I didn't think there was so much contention over kiwi eating, but I feel a little bit more educated now as to how I can eat it.
Wait, next time you have kiwis, have it with the skin on. You'll
maybe I do half and half and tell you which one I prefer. Maybe I scoop out one half and chop up the other.
Ever the diplomat, Brandon.
Maybe I should. I'll think about that for next
the
week.
True centrist.
The true centrist of the left wingers. Okay, well, I think, to be fair, I've never ever heard about it like that, so I can't lie.
Hats off to you.
I'm disappointed, but we are. So we're going to do a Twitter poll. about how people eat their kiwis. And I hope that Left Wingers get involved, because I thought I was right and now I'm questioning. I don't actually remember whoever taught me to eat a kiwi, so maybe I just made it up. That's also a likelihood. But then also, like, did your parents teach you to eat kiwis like that? If anyone knows a kiwi specialist, could you email in, please? Because we'd love to hear what you have to say. Okay, we have only a few minutes left on this podcast, on this recording. So I feel like all of mine have been covered. One thing that I haven't said, which is the like almost the opposite to kiwis, is tampons, because I don't feel like we've kind of spoken about the fact that everyone needs to, for example, wash, or everyone needs to do their hair, or, you know, that will never ever change. People will always want to, hopefully, people will always want to wash themselves, but most need tampons. And I feel like that's a key one.
One of the interesting questions that was brought up by me looking at the index was what items people can actually measure, because a big key component in terms of what makes up the index is how whether or not the ONS thinks they can actually measure how much the item's used and the average price of it. So one of the things that has actually been took off the list was club entry, and that's not a recent taken off. They took that off in 2016. But in terms of the fees to enter clubs, which I think is, you know, maybe club culture isn't as big as it was in our parents' generations, but it's still a very big part of UK culture. And they took that off because they thought that they couldn't measure it because of so many different variables. But I think that's probably worth still keeping on, because I know that a lot of people obviously go out clubbing, and it probably takes up quite a big chunk of quite a lot of people, particularly young people's, not stereotype, but particularly young people's incomes. So I did put that as the last thing on my list.
One of the things I thought was interesting was they took off men's suits, which I thought was fascinating. And my interest is, will there be a year in the next 5 or 6 years where they put them back on? And if so, why?
I do find it quite sad, actually, that we don't wear suits as much as we used to do. Like, when I look back at old pics of, like, my granddad, maybe this is too far, but he's literally sat on the beach in a suit. And, like, that was just the dumb thing. And you could see in the background of the picture, there's just loads of people just sat in their suits. And I think it's kind of cute. I think it's kind of a vibe. And I don't think we wear suits enough as our generation. I think they could probably come back.
I agree with that, actually. And actually, I would say I have, like, a version of a women's suit almost. But every time I put it on, I feel pretty cool.
You look very powerful. That's what I'll say. Like, kind of scary, but in a good way. Sorry, that's how I feel.
I can also probably what's helped with that with the decline is the lack of in-person interviews and stuff.
Yeah,
that's probably why most people, even people who don't wear suits regularly, will at least have one for an interview. And if there's not been any interviews for 3 years, that's probably why mm-hmm. No one's been buying them.
I think it's a shame that they've taken it off the list, because there's actually a lot of charities that are springing up or organizations, some charities that just give away suits to those that can't afford to buy full three-piece suits, because they are very, very expensive items. But also there's a lot of, like, suit exchanges that I've seen now online, where people just swap suits for various reasons. And I think it's a big shame that they're taking it out, because they are very expensive items to buy. But yet there's an expectation still that people do wear suits for certain occasions, like having a job interview, like going to a wedding, or like religious ceremonies. I think it is important that we still track the price of goods like a suit, even if some people might consider it a luxury item. I would disagree.
Now, I'm happy to be corrected, because I kind of have two or three versions of, like, a woman's version of a suit, I guess. But don't men just buy, like, if you know what size you are, don't you just buy a suit that you like and then you just go, yeah, I have 5 of those? Isn't that like, and then no. You have your suits for the next 3 or 4 years until you change in size and or...
No, because, no? I mean, over, I don't know about you, but they do have a change in style in suits as well, I feel, as well. So if you're actually wearing it regularly at a job, you wouldn't, like, sort of get away with wearing a 10-year-old suit as much, maybe.
No, but I feel like you, if you kept it in good condition, you could have it for 2 or 3 years. So therefore, and the point of the price index is that you obviously buy it frequently. For example, the things we were mentioning earlier, like bread or dog food. I don't, like, can if you know what size you are and you don't put on too much weight or lose too much weight, could you not just pre-buy 5 or 6 suits?
Well, that's the thing. The problem comes where people can't pre-buy suits and there's just the one suit that's bought over and over again, because obviously quite a lot of people don't have enough income to buy several sets of suits when they are. I think even if you're looking on the cheaper end, you're talking like £100 for a proper suit. And yeah, that's not a purchase that you can make all in one go almost. That's got to be broken up over the years. So like mine, I've got, I think, 2 suits at the moment, I want to say, because I've grown out of a couple over the last 10 years. I should hope that I've grown out of a couple. But I've got 2 at the moment, and it's like they have been bought over the space of 4 or 5 years. And I think that's how most people probably get them, just like slowly accumulate them over time.
You want to say something? There you go. I guess you learn something new every day.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Unfortunately, that's all that we've got time for today. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Whinging Wednesday. We'll be back next Whinging Wednesday with a new episode.
If you enjoyed listening to us, please subscribe to this podcast to be notified of when our new episodes come out. We also have a mailing list called the Left Whingers Community, which you can join in this link's episode description. Likewise, you can keep in touch with us using the links on our social media, which are also in the description. Next week, we will have a poll out, or when this episode is released, titled How Do You Eat Your Kiwis?
Anyway, keep whinging and we'll see you soon.